Today we plan to go through John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. In today's passage, Jesus is likened to a door slash a gate for the sheep, of the sheep pen. And we'll be reminded of just how much we need Jesus. Sheep need their gate. They need their protection. They need their access to other places, the pasture, and how we need Jesus. He is our door. He is our gate. So in the Gospel of John, Jesus is likened to many things. He's likened to the giver of living water. He is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. And last week we saw that he's the shepherd. Or 2 weeks ago, we saw that he's the shepherd, that God's people are the sheep. And in this passage, he's likened to the door slash the gate of the sheep pen. And again, sheep need their door, they need their gate. And it helps them in a lot of ways how we need Jesus. So please stand. We're going to pray, ask God for insight, and then we'll read through this passage. So feel free to join us and stand. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read, and I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, that this is not just a good book. It's not just a, great literature. This is your word, and you speak through your word. So I pray, Father, that you'd give us ears to hear, that we'd really listen to you speak through your word. And I pray that you give us understanding. And I pray that you give us humility to respond in a way that would be pleasing to you. So we commit to you this whole service, this whole time. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10, then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Please be seated. Very encouraging passage. Incredibly encouraging. What we'll do is we'll just go verse by verse through it. We'll just go verse by verse through these verses, these four verses. And so we're focusing on especially how we need Jesus. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly." In other words, for sure. This is for sure. You can bank on it. You know for sure that this is true. "I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus is the door. He is the gate. Our sheep have a door. They have a gate. Sometimes they try to get out when they shouldn't get out, and they try to sort of hammer down the door, the gate. And sometimes they succeed. We had to have Jared rebuild our gate doors and our gates, our slash doors, because they put so much pressure on them. They wanted to get out. But getting out of a sheep pen is not necessarily the best thing for the sheep, especially when there are predators that are possibly in the area. "So I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." So false teachers, thieves, robbers, false teachers, looking to steal the flock, looking to cause them to go astray, looking to bring damage. Thieves imply craftiness. Robbers imply potential violence. These are not good guys. These are not helpful people. It's not like, I see some good in what they're teaching. It's like, no, stay away from them. If they're teaching false doctrine, stay away. Run as fast as you can away from them. Don't get fed by anything that's not lining up with God's word as far as the underlying framework. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus is the door. We enter into salvation via Jesus. He's our gate. He's our door. He's the only way to enter. He's the key to salvation. And also it's clear that he'll go in and go out and find pasture. He's also the key to abundant living. Abundant living. We find pasture. Oh, how our sheep love pasture. They love to be able to go out. Like in the springtime, we'll let them out the first time after they've been in the barn most of the winter. They have the barn and a paddock behind the barn. But when they can actually go out and frolic on the grass in like April. They jump. They actually jump up and down for joy. They are so incredibly happy. And if you see little baby sheep, little lambs, they'll jump very high. For their size, they jump really high. And they're so incredibly excited. So abundant life. Our sheep love the pasture. And we've actually got different paddocks. We've got a left and a right as far as in the behind. And then we've got the backyard. And they use that as the third major pasture, which is awesome because we only cut the grass maybe twice, maybe three times every year because we have ingrown, we have homegrown lawn tractors. It's wonderful. Sheeperators, it's great. And then verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So there's a contrast here between the thief and Jesus, who is the door. We've also seen that he's the shepherd. There's a contrast. The thief desires to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So false teachers, also all of the enemies of the Christian. Our enemies are not people. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Worldly thought, worldly thinking. And then the flesh, everything inside of us that wants to war against God, says, I know you want me to do this, but I don't want to do it. That's the flesh. A believer still has the flesh and spirit. And that sort of new part of us, it actually can't sin. The old part of us, all it can do is sin. And so the Christian has a daily, I'm going to die to myself, I'm going to live for the Lord. So we have a part of us that's been regenerated and perfected, another part that's as ugly as it ever was. And we need to constantly reckon ourselves dead to sin, dead to the flesh, and alive unto the Lord. So the world, the flesh, and the devil is real, Satan is real, demons are real, they're fallen angels, and they are not our friends. They don't have nice little pitchforks, they look sort of like mischievous and sort of fun. They don't. If someone talks about partying in hell, they have no idea what they're talking about. They're talking about something very serious, and they're making light of it as if it's a great time. It is not a great time. Hell is suffering, and it's suffering that there's no indication that it ever comes to an end. And so it's not a pleasant place to be. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil keeps trying to, for the believer, he just tries to deceive us. He tries to get us to believe lies, to not believe the word of God. He tries to get us to think thoughts that are contrary to what Scripture says as far as who we are and as far as who Jesus is, who God is. And he continually tries to trip us up. If something bad happens in our lives, you say, see, God doesn't love you. See, he's not all powerful. He's just letting bad things happen to you. And he'll just start kicking dust into our face or trying to. But the believer says, I'm going to resist you. I'm not going to give myself to this intimidation. I'm going to align myself to what Scripture says about God the Father and about God the Son. He is all powerful and he is all loving. And even though bad things happen in this world because of Satan, because of demons, because of fallen people, it's a fallen world, bad things do happen. But still, I believe the truths of God. And so these truths are true, and they will be all the more experienced as Jesus comes back, and then we go to be with him, and we experience what they call the millennial kingdom, and then the eternal state. And we look forward to all of that. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. In contrast, Jesus desires to give life. Abundant life, awesome life, awesome life. And he brings us into pastures that are like causing us to skip and to jump and to really have a good time. So that's the verses 7 through 10. So Jesus is the door of three things as far as just looking back, stepping back, taking a look at this. He's the door of three things. He's the door of salvation. That's number one. He's the door of salvation. He says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So he alone offers salvation. No one else offers it. Other religious leaders, they lay out good ways to live, but they do not deal with the sin problem that separates us from fellowship with God. They do not deal with it. Jesus dealt with the sin problem because he died on the cross. He was innocent of any sin. He was perfect. He was God the Son, and he was perfect. So when he died on the cross, he never should have experienced death. In fact, he never would have died, actually, if he hadn't chosen to. He gave himself over to death so that as the God-man, he could die in our place. He took the death penalty in our place. He alone offers salvation. He alone dealt with the sin problem. And because of what Jesus did, we're saved from three things. We're saved from the penalty of sin. There's no longer a price tag that we have to pay. We couldn't pay it. We could say, I owe you an apology, God. I owe you an apology. I owe you an apology. We could do that till we're blue in the face. It doesn't deal with our sin problem. We've got an inherent taintedness inside that has to be dealt with. And so we're saved from the penalty of sin, separation from God through all of eternity. We're saved from that penalty. We're also saved, from the power of sin. When we come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells the heart of the believer and gives us a power we did not have before. So we can have all sorts of good philosophies as far as I'll turn over a new leaf in life, but unless we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we don't have the power that we need. I've got a pump system I'm trying to do at home. We've got an area in our laundry room that didn't have a drain. It's a laundry room with no drain. Can you imagine that? And it wasn't really used as a laundry room. It was a storage room. And it's rightfully the laundry room. And so we moved our washer and dryer from the kitchen, which is not where it should have been, but we moved it there to the laundry room. But there's still no drain. So what are we going to do for the washer? Are we going to spew it out the window like it's been done in the past? Or are we going to do something better? So we have a pump system that pumps it up into the attic and across, and it's got a nice little grade going down so it doesn't get frozen in the attic. And it's a nice little pump system. But we have one little pump, and it's just not powerful enough. It's not strong enough. Plus the float switch is broken. So it's got some issues. But it's like, okay, we have to deal with the washer. We have to deal with the water softener. We have to deal with the sink in the adjoining room. And so we have three different sources of water that are going to compete. And that little quarter horse motor is not going to be able to cut it. I was doing some research even yesterday on that. We're going to have to bring in a bigger gun, a bigger guy. And then this will be a backup for the bigger guy. Sort of like the lighthouse, the little red lighthouse. Remember that? The little red lighthouse? I love that story. And so the little red lighthouse was faithful, and then eventually came the big lights from the bridge. And the little red lighthouse was like out of business, but then power went out and the bridge wasn't coming through. And so they had to have that little red lighthouse shine again brightly. It's wonderful. By the way, when I was driving, the first time I went to New York City, I said, where's the little red lighthouse? And I actually saw it. I could actually see it. That is it. And it was the GW Bridge? Is that the bridge that's involved? So anyway, so the little pump will be now a backup for the big guy when the big guy fails. So you just need a pump in your life, and each one of us need a pump in our lives. A big pump, a pump that's big enough to be able to get all the yucky water out of our lives. So the power of sin, we're free from the power of sin in that we have access to God's incredible power because of the indwelling Holy Spirit for the believer. For an unbeliever who's not in Christ yet, and all unbelievers, they're not in Christ yet, and yet they're trying to like live a Christian life. It's a hard place to be. I was there for 2 years when I sort of felt that Jesus probably was Lord of the world, but he wasn't really Lord of my life. And he was probably Savior of the whole world, but he wasn't really Savior of my life, and I didn't really believe it. And I didn't have a whole lot of power, so I was trying to live the Christian life. It was actually a very anxiety-prone kind of existence to try to live the Christian life without the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's not good. So the power of sin, we're saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. He gives us incredible power, and we're saved from the presence of sin. We will be saved from the presence of sin. In other words, Jesus is coming back. We are going to go to be with him, and he will take care of that flesh that's in us. It will be removed, and we'll only have the good stuff left inside the believer. And so there will be no sin inside of us. And ultimately, in the eternal state, in the final state after the millennial kingdom, in the final state, there's no sin around us at all. None around us at all. And so it's like no sin in us, no sin around us. Heaven is an amazing place. People make fun of it. Oh, I'm going to party in hell, and heaven's just boring. It's like, no, it's not going to be boring. It's going to be like, whoa. It's going to be like sitting at the base of Niagara Falls. It was like, whoa. You ever been there? Have you ever seen Niagara Falls? The first time, it's like, whoa. You know, Maid of the Mist goes right there. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. That's what eternity is like. It's like, whoa. And you praise God. And you see different aspects of his glory. And it's not like the same falls picture every day. It's not the same falls experience. It's a different aspect of his glory that you see constantly. And it's like, whoa. And it's going to be an amazing place. An amazing place. So saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. There's no other way. There's no other way to be saved. He is the door. He is the gate. Materialism cannot save us. Politicians cannot save us. I don't care what party they're from. They can't save us. Our abilities, good abilities, all the good looks, very good-looking people here, all the good looks we have, turns out they can't save us. The good looks can't save us. It makes us cute, but it can't save us. On the heroes of life, whether it's the heroes on the basketball court or the football field or the stage and they're a great band or a great solo artist, these heroes cannot save us. They just can't. The superstars can't save us. Only Jesus can save us. He is the door of salvation. Then number two, he is the door of abundant life. He is the door of abundant life. Verses 9 and 10, or second part of verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Then also in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So we can enjoy excellent pasture in the Lord with Jesus as he's our gate. He makes that possible. And of course, he also is the shepherd. We'll focus in on that. We did 2 weeks ago, and we'll focus on that again next week. So we can enjoy wonderful pasture via Christ and what he's done for us. Healthy living. We can eat freely. And boy, how the sheep love to eat. They eat all sorts of things. Turns out they can eat anything. They can eat poison ivy. Not that a good shepherd would feed poison ivy to their sheep necessarily, but actually they have no problem with it. So we use them as landscapers. They're great. Every animal on the Grimbin farm has a job. And so they are landscapers as one of their jobs. Take out the poison ivy, girls. Come on, girls. You can do it. And they do it. They love it. So, but all the better, we have green, lush grass in our backyard and in parts of the pasture in the far back, and they love that. They really, and there's hay. We bring in hay from the Thumb of Michigan. The Thumb is where the hay is. Boy, it's awesome. We get hay from around here and some good sources around here. And the Thumb, it's just phenomenal as far as the sources that are available. And so the best of hay, and they love hay. So these are grass-fed sheep. So Jesus knows what's best for us. This whole idea of abundant life, abundant living. He knows what's best for us. He knows where the best grazing is. He knows when to rotate the pastures where the sheep are. And he knows how to lead us. The same way, he knows what character traits we need to develop. If we're a believer in Christ, he knows that, boy, there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like, man, they really need to work on their joy at this time. They've been complaining and grumbling. or they need to work on their peace at this time. There's too much anxiety in their lives. And so there's different aspects of character the Lord wants to instill in us. And so he knows what pasture provides that. So a good book to read, a scripture to go to memorize, to put in our heart. He knows what to go through as far as small group Bible study or the Word of God as it's being preached. He knows what's best for us as far as the grazing that we need, the encouragement that comes from others. So he knows what scripture can address every need that we have, what scripture passages can actually help us. He speaks through his word, and he knows what we need. He also knows what people, or who, which people can really encourage us at any given time. It's like, boy, the Holy Spirit's like, I want to bring this person into this person's life because this other person will be really helpful for this aspect of what this person's struggling with. And so he works that way in our lives, and he brings in people who we can encourage and be encouraged by, we can disciple or be discipled by, or just have fellowship with, and that strengthens us. So he knows what we need. He is the Lord of abundant life as far as he's the gate, he's the door. We go in and out, wonderful pasture, and the analogies are awesome as far as the Christian life. So that's number two, is abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 27, there's a passage here, John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. We'll look at it again next week because that's where we're going to go next week. But my sheep, each one of us, hear his voice. We know him. There's a relationship. It's not just about what we do. It's a relationship with the one who died for us and the one who leads us. He rose again and he leads us. And they follow me. He directs us. We are to follow after him. And so the abundant life, it's very important. We go through the gate and that the whole idea is our lives are orchestrated by the one who loves us so much. And so this year, I plan to read a couple books of the Bible that I haven't read in a long, long time, like a long, long time. And it's like, boy, I haven't had that part of scripture in my heart at all in the last number of years. And so I want to read these books and take them in and prayerfully read them, study them, and take them in. And that's another pasture area. And I'm going to be skipping and hopping a little bit because I'm going to love that because it's been so long since I've gone through some of the longer prophetic books, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I haven't gone through those in so long. And so this year also, I plan to deepen relationships as far as getting to know people better. We've been real busy as far as all the renovations that took place here, done a little over a year ago. Then the renovations at home, we're just about getting close to done, and providing the newlywed suite for our son, who is getting married tomorrow, by the way. And we're providing the newlywed suite for he and his bride, separate partition as far as from the rest of the house, separate entrance. So it's their own little apartment. They can hopefully start saving up for a house, and they'll have a great first year. And so we're looking forward to that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I plan to deepen relationships and spend more time with people. That's what we look forward to as far as that's part of the abundant life that we sense ourselves, what Sue, myself, and the family is going to do. And we'll also have a great time as a family. It's going to be fun. So Jesus, he's the door of salvation. He's the door of abundant life. Lastly, he's the door of protection. He's the door of protection. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we are safe in the hands of Jesus. We are safe, completely safe in his hands. Our sheep that we have at home, 10 of them, or 10 or 11, and when there's no gate or the gate's broken, or if somehow it was left open and they can wander, that's not a good thing. Now, we have a perimeter fence around the entire property, and that's also a huge protection for our sheep. But in theory, there could be a coyote or some other predator that makes it into the yard. We've never had that kind of thing. We've had a fox, but the fox are not able to take on a sheep, a big sheep anyway. They could take a baby, right? So, so the perimeter fence, but then the gate, and the gate's very important because it's a gate of protection. And so others, the thieves and the robbers, the false teachers, anything stemming from the forces of darkness, these are not good guys. They don't want our best. And they're looking to kill, steal, destroy. But Jesus has come so that we can have life. We are in a battle. We do have enemies. We do have the world, the flesh, the devil. We do have false teachers. And they want to take us down. The false teachers may think they're doing good to the world, but they ultimately, behind the scenes, the underpinnings that sort of drive them, they want to take us down. They want to, if we're a believer, they want to render us ineffective. If we're an unbeliever, they want to prevent us from coming to Christ. Everything they can do to prevent us. Every excuse in the book that is possible, they will try to instill into our heart. So it's like, okay, I have a lot of reasons to not come to Christ. I have a lot of reasons to not get radically saved. I have not a lot of reasons to not follow him wholeheartedly. And then we're playing into the hands of the enemy. So we need to remain alert, very alert, regarding the schemes of the enemy and regarding how awesome our Lord is. In verse 8, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Did not hear them. So it's essential that we learn the shepherd's voice. It's essential that we learn the shepherd's voice. The best way to identify counterfeit bills, I've never done this. I've never done counterfeit bills. I've played with Monopoly money, but that's about it. But I've never done counterfeit bills. But the best way, apparently, to identify counterfeit bills is to know the genuine bills, the real deal, and to know it cold. It's like, I know these bills. And so I can spot a 20 that is not real because I've been studying the real thing. And that's the best way to learn, apparently. So the same kind of thing. We learn to hear his voice by doing it and by studying the Lord and by hearing, by taking in his word and just taking it into our heart. And that helps us to become more sensitive. So the more we take scripture in, we hear it, we read it, we discuss it, memorize it, just take it into our heart. If done in humility, if done in pride, it actually won't help us. But if done in humility, we get to know the voice of Jesus so much better. So much better. We get to know his voice as we take it in. So Jesus is the door of salvation, the door of abundant life, and the door of protection. Personal application. Regarding Jesus as the door of salvation, have you entered the door? Have you entered through the gate? On our part, it takes willingness. God does his part. He gives us a desire to enter. He offers it to us, and he gives us the desire. Our part is to willingly say, I surrender to you. I'm going through the gate. You alone are my salvation. You are my salvation. You alone. And if you have entered the door, are you thankful for the door? Are you thankful for the gate? Very important that we learn thanksgiving. So many things we have, and we don't realize, in fact, every good thing we have comes from God the Father. And so every breath we do take, every bite of good food, it comes from God the Father. That's why we say grace before we eat, because it's all coming from God. He's the one who causes things to grow. He's the one who gives people ingenuity to cook and to cook wonderfully and put it all together. Ultimately, it's the grace of God. He's giving us food. He's providing for us. So are you thankful for the door? He has saved us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately from the presence of sin. So let's cultivate incredible contentment as we go through this next year. That's a good one for me. Busy years, often busyness, is not the great breeding ground for learning contentment or cultivating contentment. And so for me, that's a direction for 2021. Let's get back to really cultivating contentment. And there may be busy seasons, but cultivating contentment in the midst of them. Regarding Jesus being the door of abundant life, are you eating well? Are you eating well? Are you eating the pasture from the pastures he wants you to eat from? Are you taking it in? Are you finding the green grass? Are you hopping and skipping a little bit because of all that he has for you? Are you experiencing abundant life? Are you following Jesus? He's the one we are to follow. Let's follow Jesus as opposed to the pull of the flesh, or as opposed to other temptations, or as opposed to what other people think you should do. And it's like, we've done enough of that. We live for what other people think and other expectations. Lord, I want to live for what you think. I want to care about what you think. I want to follow you. I don't care what the peanut gallery has to say. I don't care about other great ways to live. It's like, I want to follow you, Lord. You're the only great way to live. And so are you following Jesus? He's the one who leads you. He's the one who rotates our pasture at times. In other words, he might lead us to another book of the Bible, or experiencing a small group Bible study or something new. And it's interesting. Sheep don't really like change a lot. The sheep we have, they don't really like change. But once they actually get into a new pasture, they love it. And so let's be open to whatever he has for us in terms of book to read, scripture to memorize, project to take on, just a project in the Lord. Lord, I want to learn thanksgiving. Lord, I want to learn joy. I want to learn peace. And there are things we can do to ready ourselves or to participate with the Holy Spirit as he's instilling these things into our heart. And then regarding Jesus being the door of protection, are you learning the shepherd's voice? It's a very cruel world, and we've seen that very clearly this year, even in various media outlets and different places that we've seen some very ugly things take place. And so are you learning the shepherd's voice? We have thieves, robbers, false teachers, enemies out there. Very important that we learn the shepherd's voice. So are we learning that? And is there any way in which he's inviting us to become more and more sensitive regarding his voice and regarding the things he has for us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. What a wonderful, wonderful passage. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here who has yet to come to faith in Christ, or anyone who's listening who's yet to come to faith in Christ, and I pray that they would discover you as the rightful door, the rightful gate, and Lord, the one who provides protection and the one who provides salvation. And I pray that they would follow after you, Lord, that they would surrender. And they'd say, I've been trying to do it myself. I am going to surrender and follow you wholeheartedly. And for those who are listening who are in you, they've already received you into their heart. You're their Lord and you're their Savior. I pray that you'd help us to experience abundant life as we reflect upon this past year and the grace given to each one of us. And we look forward to this next year. I pray that you'd lead us. Lord, that you would feed us wonderfully, and that you'd lead us into different aspects of your word. Help us to hear your voice really, really well. And I pray that you would feed us, direct us, build character in us, and that this would be a super year coming up. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives and what you're doing now, and even what we sense you're going to do. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.